Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 34. I'm Jim.
And I'm Dale.
And we are those crazy Bible study guys.
Oh, and happy day, everybody. Hey, Jim, how you doing today?
Money.
Oh, man. I was thinking so many different song titles I could throw out, but that's okay. We gonna be talking about the old dollar greenback, man.
I see you right now with your hand over your other hand, just kind of doing, what is that when they
look? Oh, yeah, man, I'm making it rain, dude.
Yeah, I see you doing it right now.
Oh, man, yeah, just so many good songs from back in the day, you know. Oh, man, yeah, this one's going to be fun, and this one's right up our alley because I think we have a lot of investment from prior careers and things we do, and I know you're obviously a huge advocate with the whole perspective of being debt-free, and so, yeah, this one's going to be a good one. This might even be a two-parter. We don't know yet. This one might be a two-parter.
Yeah, this one's going to be rich.
Yeah. Oh, dun-dun-dun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, get that one in there.
I'm gonna throw some data at you.
Oh,
you
know, bring it.
Because Jesus teaching about money, right? This is a topic he knew was gonna be a strong contender for our faith. So here's some statistics on verses about money in the Bible. 16 of 38 of Jesus's parables deal with money and possessions. And nearly 25% of Jesus' word in the New Testament deal with biblical stewardship. And 1 out of 10 verses in the gospel deals with money. So this is a hot topic.
It really is. And I think you made a great point last podcast episode we did when we talked about fasting is, you know, the things that Jesus is bringing up are true heart matters. And I do not know the official statistic to this because I think it's changed and it changes rapidly. But again, why does Jesus, I like your stats, man. Why does Jesus have so many stats about money? Because it's so critically, you know, able to just distract from vision. Yeah. And one of the number one causes unfortunately, for divorce, which we've read about recently, of something he also talked about in this time. Was one of the leading causes is financials.
Yeah.
Where people, you know, unfortunately do the wrong things, get in the wrong places or have addictions. Next thing you know, everything you work for is gone and the stress of a household with money. I think we all feel it. We've all felt it for sure. So that's why it goes back to that heart matter. Is your heart in the right priorities? Are we utilizing the tools and the resources God's providing to us in the right way? Man. All right. Well, I tell you what, I think we have a lot to say out here. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, you know, Christ talks about, you know, having a daily walk with him, right? And mm-hmm. I think the reason money is such a strong contender is daily we're using that tool, right? Money is a tool, right? I'm going to probably throw out some Dave Ramsey-isms, but, you know, it's like a brick, right? You can either build a beautiful building with it or you can throw it through a window, right? It depends how you use that. And money is the same way, right? It's a tool that can be used to help you with living and helping you do things and helping you have some fun and helping you make a difference in others. Or you can just get totally obsessed with it and it can destroy your marriage and your relationships and all that other stuff. So that's your intro, man. I think you were going to dive into the scriptures there.
Yeah, that was actually a really good intro. And yeah, the only reason why I was going to dive in a little early into the scriptures because we could go so many pathways with this, and they're going to be like, why are we talking about this? It's like now 5 episodes on the same thing. Like, yeah, we went off course. So like, I would definitely want to see, because you said there's so much scripture out there.
Yeah.
And again, why? Yeah. Because there's so many points of perspective to how to have to manage and deal with it. So I want to make sure we're on the right path with this one. So yeah, today, everyone, I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 19 through 24. So I'm going to go ahead and open us in prayer. And then we'll dive right in. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, wow, you are amazing. And Lord, it's all through you. Everything that you do, it's just, it's all through your blessings and your ways of you just providing for us, God. And Lord, we know money is one of those ways to help us through society. And so, Lord, we just allow, we ask and pray that you'll allow us to understand your words today, that we can implement them in our lives, to do the right things, to make sure our hearts are in check with you, and that what we deposit into the bank will be deposits from you, to be able to just bless you and your word with it. So let us just really focus into you today and just allow you to just in penetrate our hearts to just grow deeper in relationship with you. We ask all this in your name and be with our listeners and our families. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right.
Let's dive in, man.
Let's see where he's going to take us, man. 19, Matthew chapter 6 goes like this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Big one.
The
there.
Eye.
Yeah.
Do what now?
That's a big verse there, 21 there.
Yeah. 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Mm. There's a couple things that pop out right away for me. One is money is capitalized. Do you see that? You cannot serve both God and money. So it's capitalized here, meaning that it's giving it a godlike form. You're basically worshiping it.
Huh, so I find that's interesting. Mine.
Yeah.
Are you talking on verse 24, the end there?
Yours
mine
isn't,
is not.
Yours isn't capitalized. Oh, all right.
No, mine's not.
Well, no wonder it's weird for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really weird.
I know it's early and the coffee hasn't fully hit in, but yeah, I didn't see that. So.
Well, I found it interesting because, you know, it's like you're treating it as a God in your life, you know, and I mean, everything we do, right, is centered around, we have to have money to function in life, right?
It's, yeah.
There's just, we have to have it in our life. I mean, I know, I get it. There's some people that go off the grid and fully live off there, but even they need some money to get some products and stuff, right? To do what they want to do. But so that's interesting. That's, they decided to change that in your version. But the other one was, I'm going to be curious about the footnotes. I don't know if you get any interpretation here in like verse 22 through 23 just seemed to be like, I think if we dive into it, but right offhand when you're reading it, it just seemed like this total like thing out of left field, right? He's talking about money, and then he says, if the eye is the lamp in the body and your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light, but your eyes are bad, how great is that darkness? Like, I don't know if you had any initial thoughts on how that, like initially from just reading the scripture, pops out to you before we head into footnotes in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm definitely sure the footnotes are going to really clear it up. But at the way I take it and interpret it, again, this is a non-theologian, just a country old boy kind of perspective here. I think, you know, a lot of times when Jesus really was to teach, he would bring multiple perspectives to the same, you know, element. Like when we get a little further in, like we're going to talk about like, you know,
like
what it is for like a believer, you know? So like when he talks about how heaven rejoices for a believer, he gives like three different examples about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and then I think a lost son at the same time. So I think 22, 23 is a tie into 19 and 21 through that, just because when you think about the eye of the body, you know, if your eyes are healthy and you're able to see, you're seeing well. But like if you ever, like I know actually just recently, unfortunately, and praise the Lord, she's fine. My wife had pneumonia and I, you know, she struggled really bad with high fevers. And I remember one time, you know, I was checking on her and talking with her, like, how are you doing? And she's like, I feel so bad. Like my eyes are just, they're just real heavy and they're kind of, you know, just, they're just falling down. And so like her vision was slightly limited because she just wasn't feeling well. Again, the fever was so high. So if you think about it, if your body is unhealthy, more than likely you're not seeing the full picture. You're really almost in the dark, kind of second guessing things. Cause I mean, I know I've felt sick before really bad and I'm not making the right choices. I can barely just, you know, get up and get safely to, you know, one location to another because I just feel so bad. But I kind of think almost like that might tie into 1921, because if you look at 19, you know, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and thieves break in and steal. It's that perspective of, you know, you think everything is fine. Everything is good in your eyes. You got all these fancy toys, fancy things, but at any moment it could be taken away, just like our health. And so where's your, again, goes back to the heart matter. Where's your heart lie? Like, it's okay. God doesn't want you not to have, like, I mean, you know, as long as you're making the right choices, I think, like, it's okay if you have a nice home, nice car, you know, but are you doing it the right way? Like, are you getting these things because you want people to look at you in society and be like, wow, that person right there is successful because they drive a really nice car and have a big fancy house, you know? Or is it, you know, an alternative way of, you know, I have a bigger home and it's a blessed home I'm able to provide, but I have a big family. We do big events and gatherings. And so we utilize the space for, you know, outreach or whatever it might be. I think it goes back to the heart, but I think that's how they tie in together about the health, whereas it's also with your stuff. Because he talks material on 1921, then he talks about the health 22-23. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I'm feeding off that a little bit related to like how, like, this is like extreme in 22-23. And guessing that what he's saying here is, hey, this is so important. If you get this wrong, this is how this could affect you. Like if you lost your vision, like getting so focused on money, you kind of lose that vision with your focus on Christ. So yeah, I get what you're saying, because right before you, there your heart will also be, right? For where your treasure is, your heart will also be. So,
because it's easy when things are good, you have everything you want, you know, like you and I've talked about this before. There's a difference between the two words, need and want.
Yep.
And if you have all that you need and you're also getting all that you want, there's an easy way for you to say, I've got everything under control. I don't need God because, you know, everything's fine. I have security in my stuff. And as we know, and I know tornadoes have been ripping through the county and the country right now, anything at any time can be taken away quickly. Yep. And faster than you could ever imagine. And yeah, I think it is definitely a spiritual perspective. So I like that. I like that insight you have there.
Yeah, I'm going to use an example too on the whole rust and moth thing, but a little different spin on it. This is probably 20 years ago at least, but we used to have a snowmobile. It was a used snowmobile, but we had a ton of fun on that thing. But man, it took up so much room in the garage, and every year you had to tune it and fine tune it. And then, you know, where I'm at in Michigan, it's like, if it snowed, you had to get out, you had to stop everything you were doing and do that because you didn't know if snow was going to melt the next day or what have you. So it was kind of like, from that, actually, I just kind of learned, all right, this thing is just, like, any additional thing I get with a motor is going to take time, it's going to take energy, it's going to take money to utilize, and then I almost have to make this commitment to that item, too, because I feel like I got to get my money's worth out of it, right? I spent a decent amount of money on it, or if you get a boat or something like that, it's like you feel like you got to use it all the time to get your money's worth, and is that pulling you away from other things? So that's a kind of a perspective personally I've developed, that, you know, It's like one less thing to have to maintain and put money into and put time into. So that's sometimes that trap of material possessions can do that, where it kind of distracts and takes us away from things.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, great perspective, man.
Yeah, so in 620, this is the whole piece where, you know, store up your treasures in heaven, where moth and, mine says moth and rust do not destroy.
I like the rust. I got the vermin.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah.
I don't know why they made that change, but
I mean, that's a big change.
I mean, we all get rusting.
They uncapitalized money and they put vermin in over rust.
So. All right. Well, they must have been having a day or something. So 620, storing up treasures in heaven is not limited to tithing, but is accomplished by all acts of obedience to God. There is a sense in which giving our money to God's work is like investing in heaven. But our intention should be to seek the fulfillment of God's purposes in all we do, not merely what we do with our money.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the heart.
Yep.
You know, and it's, and I know people are like, oh, it's all you guys ever talk about, but it's so critically important. It's really what it is.
It's going to be in our episodes all the time. It's the major, one of the major themes, right?
Yeah, it will, because I mean, it goes to that perspective of like, okay, why do we want to store up these treasures in heaven? First off, we've got people out there who have worked really hard, maybe have some rags to riches stories and have gotten real far and well. And it's like, you know, I've earned all of this, and yeah, hard work will get you to great places. But at the same time, everything is God's. It's all His anyway. And these blessings that we've been given, whether it's a good paying job or, you know, a business, whatever it might be, like, it's all His. Yep. And, you know, again, like you said, the distraction of what you're putting your time and money into. But yeah, I mean, to be able to store up treasures for yourself in heaven, it's that simple perspective to realize that everything that you have is the Lord's. We're just the managers of it. Yep. And hopefully we want to be good managers of it, and we're going to do the right things, which will then in theory store up treasures for yourself in heaven, because again, you're saying, Lord, you're blessing me with $100. So I'm going to take this $100. I'm going to be smart. I'm going to be wise. I'm going to tithe a little bit, you know, of this. I'm also going to put a little in the savings, but then I'm going to do something too, to maybe buy that person over here a Bible that's been really, you know, eager to have one. Or even if it's the $5 challenge you've mentioned before, you know, you can do ways to bless others through small, small acts of kindness with the blessing that you've been given. So, you know, and again, it's not to post on social media being like, look at all that I'm doing. You know, it's just these little acts between you and the Father in heaven, you know, of, all right, God, you've blessed me with something I was unexpecting. Let me take a little of this and bless someone else unexpectedly. But that's just between me and you, God.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's nothing wrong with making money and being successful. No, there.
Not at all.
And in fact, you know, people, you know, like, hey, I want to win the lottery and all that stuff, which is all fine and good to have money, but can you really handle it? I mean, there's a lot of responsibility with having larger amounts of money. Again, what are you going to do? Are you going to use that brick to throw it through the window, or are you going to use it to do something good? And you know what? Like anything in life, right? Like how food, it needs to nourish our bodies, but is pleasurable. Sex, right, is used to reproduce, but is pleasurable. The same with money, right? It's used to help us to do the things we need to do, but, you know, God also uses it for us to go out and have some fun, right? But it's not going to buy happiness. It's not going to buy salvation. No. So,
yeah, I remember once even seeing a video, and it was with one of the greatest in football, was Tom Brady. This was years and years ago. We showed a video in youth, and I wish I could still find it. I'm sure it's out there in digital land, but, you know, Tom Brady was talking about, I've got it all. I've got the ring. I've got the career, the love of what I do, the passion for my game. I've got the big house. I've got the sports cars. I've got all the fancy things you can imagine, but I still feel like there's something missing. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, you can, again, work hard and yeah, it's awesome. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having money, just again, like how you use it, but what's your focus on? Like, where yep. is that purpose? And he was completely missing Christ at that time. And I hope he knows Christ. I don't know. But yeah, and that was definitely a quick way to show, like, you can have everything the world tells you it's important, but if you don't have Christ, you're going to have something that's missing and you're going to feel it. He was a living testament to that.
Back to the footnotes. I do not have one. You said you had one for verse 21.
I do. I have 21. So 21 yeah. says, for where your treasure, for where... Okay, let me restart this. Okay, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I'm getting older. I'm noticing I need to probably get a bigger text Bible. Okay, so the footnote says, Jesus made it clear that having the wrong treasures leads to our hearts being in the wrong place. What we treasure the most controls us, whether we admit it or not. If possessions or money become too important to us, we must reestablish control or get rid of items. Jesus calls for a decision that allows us to live contently with whatever we have because we have chosen eternal values over temporarily earthly treasures.
Yeah, I think the whole word, the big word there to me was contentment, right? It's yeah. like as you pursue additional, because, you know, we want to continually grow. We want to set goals. We want to achieve things. But can you find contentment in the meantime versus saying, hey, when I get to there, I'll be content? Because that's just a false game where the line keeps getting moved back once you get to the line, right? It's
yeah.
you make that one goal and then it's like, what's next? So contentment, that's probably the number one thing from teaching all the Ramsey classes and stuff that I've found is the number one tool to being successful with handling money is contentment.
I'm glad you brought that up because, I mean, I think that's really what also kind of really relates to everything here is just, again, like you said, the word. I'm going to say it again so we can get it built into everyone's mind, contentment, because that's what marketing in America has really impacted all of our hearts and it's been very deceptive, you know. It's nice to have a cell phone so we can communicate to others. I mean, that's what's the purpose of a cell phone. It's not just to watch videos and, you know, social media. The purpose of a real phone is to be able to call, connect, make sure that you're, you know, updating friends and family and loved ones and you know, calling for things that you might need. And so what happens is the biggest, newest thing comes out and yep. it's the hot item. It's got all the cool, fancy features. And so you're being marketed to buy that. And that it's better than what you have. And that's fine. Again, if you want to go for the newest things, there's nothing wrong with that. Again, but it's just that consistent cycle is you have the new thing today. Oh, it's so good. It feels good. Look at me. I've got the coolest, newest, hottest item out there. It's known to man. Then 1 month later, it's not. You have now the new version, version 5001, that comes out now of the same thing and makes your phone, which is still a great phone that could be used for its intended purposes for a long time. Well, now it's not as appealing because it's not the newest. And I think a lot of people get pulled into that trap because of marketing games and,
yep.
you know, where again, what's the purpose of the item you're buying for? And again, there's nothing wrong if you like nice things, you know, but yeah, I think no. that contentment is what really gets me is what's the purpose of a car? A to B, you know, it doesn't have to be the hottest, newest, slickest thing every, you know, 3 months you have to change it. I do know people that have done that.
Yeah.
But I mean, also know yeah, the heart of those.
Yeah. I mean, marketing itself is basically turning a want into a need, right? Like you see something, you're like, I need that. Right. So, mm-hmm. so marketing is essentially selling discontentment. So that if you get that product, you will be content now that you don't have. So, all right, I'm going to head into the footnote here on this, the one that I was confused about at the beginning with the eyes and all that stuff. Spiritual vision is our capacity to see clearly what God wants us to do and to see the world from his point of view. But this spiritual insight can be easily clouded. Self-serving desires, interests, and goals block that vision. Serving God is the best way to restore a quote-unquote good eye. A good eye is one that is fixed on God. So I'm guessing, hey, those things are a major, like we were talking about, it's a daily use thing. It can be a major distraction from our ability to serve God and put him number one in our lives. So, and what she gets into then, the no one can serve two masters. And I got a couple footnotes on that.
Yeah.
Jesus says we can have only one master. We live in a materialistic society where many people serve money. They spend all their lives collecting and storing it, only to die and leave it behind. Their desire for money and what it can buy far outweighs their commitment to God and spiritual matters. Whatever you store up, you'll spend much of your time and energy thinking about. Don't fall into the materialistic trap, because the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Can you honestly say that God and not money is your master? One test is to ask which one occupies more of your thoughts, times, and efforts.
I like that. There's an old George Strait song, because I'm a true country music person. And he says a little comment in the song is, I've never seen a hearse with a luggage rack.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about old school country versus new school. So anyways, we won't go off on that tangent.
No.
I'm going to try to fit in this final footnote here to wrap up this episode. This is still on the no one can serve two masters. Jesus contrasted heavenly values with earthly values when he explained that our first loyalty should be for those things that do not fade, cannot be stolen or used up, and never wear out. We should not be fascinated with our possessions, lest they possess us. Ooh, possessions possess us. I like that. This means we may have to do some cutting back if our possessions are becoming too important to us. Jesus is calling for a decision that allows us to live contently with whatever we have, because we have chosen what is eternal and lasting.
Possess and possessions. And
contentment.
That's actually pretty funny. Yeah, that's a good one. And, you know, and that goes back to like our fasting kind of conversation real quickly is, you know, like one thing that I've given up, not obviously, you know, I struggle with the food piece, but, you know, I've given up, you know, a cell phone. I've given up, you know, social media, things like that, because it's easy for me to sometimes realize like maybe I'm spending too much time kind of in digital world and land, and I'm not really focusing my time on God and efforts, and, you know, just taking even 10, 15 minutes to read a Bible devotion or prayer or even into the Word. So, you know, again, yeah, are the possessions possessing over your mind? That's a really good one, man.
Yeah, I like that one. We're going to have to hit on that one. All right, Father God, thank you for the tool of money, Lord. Just help us to get the proper perspective on that. Help us focus on and learn and practice contentment, Lord, with our purpose and our eyes set on you. In Jesus' name, we pray. All right, man.
All right, everyone. Yeah, that was a good one. I can't believe we fit it all in one episode here. So, yeah, just remember, everyone, you know, be thankful for what you have and take what you are given and bless others and check your heart on that. So until next time, enjoy the gift of today.